is a name I'd love to hear. I'd love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. With wit, tell me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the same because He first loved me. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, His sun shine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because me. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Time we'll go to prayer request, and we want to continue to pray for Sister Betty Collins and Brother Collins' family, for Yvonne's family, her brother, her brother's wife and child, and the Yvonne's brothers and sisters for the bereavement, and then for healing. We want to pray for John McCray, St. Paris, Joe White in London, Ohio, Brother Ron Schiff, St. Paris, Brother Bill Caldwell. We want to continue to pray for him. Brother Frangos from Daniel Frangos from Australia, Brother Mabuka, his son will be coming here in March, and he's really had a hard time. He suffered a stroke about maybe a year ago, and then about 2 months ago, his son died. One of his sons died. His remaining son is going to be moving here. He won the green card lottery, and then his wife passed away just around Christmas time, just a month after his son passed away. So just keep him in prayers. A lot to go through. And for jobs, we want to continue to pray for Brother Phil Abbott, that the Lord will give him a safer job He climbs these tall towers and checks the to see if there's any leakage in the EMFs and stuff like that, and in the RF and frequencies. And that's a dangerous job, just in the fact that those frequencies alone can fry you. So we want to pray for him. We want to pray for Brother Asher Swathan in India, Brother Maripan in India, both of them. Brother Maripan, we helped him to build a house, or a church. And this year we're going to try to help Brother Asher Swathan build his church. And then we have many pastors in Uganda, and of course in Congo, different Congos. We have the Congo Republic. Brother Edmund Kiavia, he's been suffering from malaria. We want to pray for him. And things are really getting bad in his country. A lot of persecution, a lot of, the government's become very intolerant of any differences and things. And so he's wanting to move his family out, but he doesn't know which way to go. So there is a brother from his same country that I preach for in France. And let's just pray that maybe they can help him to get over there with his family. Brother Kiavia is a tremendous asset to the kingdom of God. He evangelized basically his entire country for the doctrine's sake, and brought the doctrine to every single pastor. Whether they received it or not, that's their business, but he took it. And so he's a very energetic young man, also has good business mind, but he's been pastoring for a number of years. We helped him to build a house, and then as soon as the house was just about finished, the government came through and took it from him. And the Chinese were putting in a highway. They offered to pay him actually $70,000, and they didn't pay him. So, he's just one thing after another. A lot of these people, they just get taken advantage by their governments, and there's a lot of criminality in governments, I think, around the world. We want to pray for our president that some of the things he's trying to clean up, the deep state, that he'll be able to clean it up. I believe part of what's going on is that the judgments of God have to begin. It begins in the house of God, first of all, and then in high places. And we're seeing how despicable and how low down and underhanded the people in our government are. They really are. And in our media and everything else. It's just, Ephesians 5:13 says that all things will be reproved by the light, or exposed by the light. And the light is the greatest it's ever been, so I imagine the Lord has to expose everything before he can bring the judgments on to say, hey, this is the reason why you're judged. And so we see a lot of these things taking place. So we just want to be praying for the brethren here and overseas and throughout the world, the bride of Jesus Christ everywhere. Do we have any prayer requests? Oh, we want to pray also for your granddaughter and your daughter-in-law, Rhoda. And what's her name again, the granddaughter?
Iris Ray.
Iris Ray, yes. We want to pray that she'll be very healthy and receive the Holy Ghost at a very young age, and that Mama will fully recover. Yes, brother.
Maybe I'll be going back to school tonight.
Pardon?
Maybe my wife will be going back to school tonight.
Okay.
Rather next week, school
will be
starting again.
Okay, so we want to pray for them and keep them in prayer for traveling, especially tonight, and then for the school. Any other prayer requests? Your family, Brother Nathan? They're still in Australia visiting in-laws, parents? Yes?
Yeah, a good friend of my father, and actually I know this man also, he's in really critical condition. He's dying. Suddenly he came to hospital, they opened him up, and they just saw him back, so he's unconscious. I would like to pray for. So, they keep him seduced and unconscious. I would like him to get that state of mind that he could make his things right with the Lord.
Okay. Do you have a name?
Well, probably in English would be Wesley, but in Polish it's Wieszek.
Wieszek. Okay, Wieszek. Okay, if we pray for Brother Wieszek. And any other requests? You two fully recovered? Okay, so keep the theatrical sisters in prayer.
We have a friend, he's Russian, Sergei. He has a son with alcohol, and he's a very good man, hard worker, and he's just going back and forth.
All right. I want to pray for Brother Sergei. Michael?
I have a co-worker, Sergei, too, and he does a test on what happened, I guess, pain on the bottom of his
pancreas,
he lost a lot of pounds, 10 pounds in a very short time. He's, and I was praying with him, I lay hands, but I bring this to the congregation,
okay,
pray for him, and his, I mentioned about Savior, and that is my request for this very good man.
Awesome. So we have two Sergeys, one Visha, and of course Sister Rhoda and Iris Ray and you two. Any other prayer requests? Okay, who can remember those names?
Paul, yeah. He's on his way from Vermont. Paul and his wife.
Okay.
Safe
trip. Safe trip. Okay. Brother Peter, you got a pretty good mind. You haven't got too old yet. He's retired now. He gets an excuse. All right, so let's just bow our heads in prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, you've heard all the requests, Lord, whether they have to do with health, direction in one's lives, seeking the Holy Ghost, seeking you, Lord. There are just so many requests, Lord, but they have one thing in common, Father, and that's that we're bringing it to you, because we know that's where all answers lie. And so, Father, I know I don't need to mention them all. You know them all, Lord. You know what the requests are. You know what our needs are before we have them. And so, Father, that's why, by the beautiful perfectedness of your word and how it's been brought through with that prophet, Lord, both down and talk to us, Lord, we know and have faith, Father, that we just put these things before you. We know the promises that are in that word, and we're asking for them now, Lord. We bring these before you. They all are ones seeking your direction, seeking your will, seeking your perfect will, Father. And Lord, so we have so much faith in you, you bring us to you, Father. And so, Lord, we ask it the way that you told us to ask it, Lord. Let's ask it by the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Number 365, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. I don't know why all these old songs were written so high. You know, it's like you had to be a first tenor to sing them. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, trust to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith beneath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, pray.
I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Amen. At this time, we all stand to our feet. Sing the Angel of the Lord's favorite song, We Believe.
Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe.
This evening, let us pray before we read our scripture. Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly indeed grateful, Lord, to be your children, Father, and Lord, we don't count that lightly. We know that in this hour, Lord, that it's a beautiful thing to be called of you, Father, and to be of you. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would be with us tonight, Lord, with this sermon and a chance, Lord, to gather ourselves together tonight, Lord, to be able to take communion, to fellowship with thee and thy word. We just ask that you would open it up to us, Father. Give us the bread of life tonight, Father, and cleanse us from all our sins, as we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Brother Brian had asked me to start taking communion services, so and I told him, well, I think that would probably be all right, you know, and being the summertime, I do get kind of busy and stuff, but I know he probably wouldn't buy that. You know, it's only one service a month. You should be able to study enough to do that, right? Amen? You know, no matter how busy you are. I plan on not being as busy as I was this summer. And hopefully the God will give me more time. Amen. And anyways, I since I am getting to preach my first communion service, I figured I would preach a communion service. And I kind of, a little bit different, maybe. I don't know if anyone's ever started with Psalms as far as their communion scripture goes, but we'll read that. Psalms 4 and 2 through 6, or through 8, I believe. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn from my glory? I'm sorry. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? And after lunch, I got back and I started reading through my sermon a little bit. And this first verse actually kind of struck me. Like, what exactly, you know, in the Greek were some of these words? And the word leasing is... how long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? That's an interesting word. And that actually is a lie, a falsehood, or a deceitful thing. So, you know how Brother Branham said that the people would much rather believe a lie than they would the truth. And so you see, Brother, our King David talking about this even way back then. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe, and sin not, and commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of my countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn or their wine increase. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And I'd like to go back to the verse 4. And David's talking here, and he says, stand in awe and sin not, and commune with your own heart. And so what would he mean by that? And on the original Greek word for heart in this, it's kind of nice to be able to study on the Voice of God's webpage, because as soon as you click the word, it goes back. And the heart in this scripture from the Greek means the inner man and the soul. And so when it says sin not and commune with your own heart, it means to be able to be still and commune with your own heart with who is living inside. Amen. And it's not necessarily you doing all the talking. As the Voice of God has kind of put forth a lot of effort into helping everyone to remember quiet time. I don't know if any of you have got the app. It's kind of nice. You get the quote of the day and what happened on that day, and then quiet time. And I think it's very important to have quiet time, and that quiet time isn't necessarily you doing all the praying. It's simply just be quiet, to be still and know that He is God. Amen? And we'll also read from Psalm 77 and 2. And in the days of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remember God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes walking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old and years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercies clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And back to verse 6. And I commune with my heart, and my spirit maketh diligent search. Now, the Greek word commune is to be in company with, to associate with, to stay with, hence to converse with, talk about, with one. And I'd like to read a little bit about what Brother Branham has to say about it, because he says it best. This morning, I wanted to come down real bad and hear Brother Neville's message, but after making that promise, then I didn't want to break it. And I believe he was talking about not leaving the house because, you know, Sister Meadie, he's never home. And instead of going to the service, he would just come down later on. So then I tried to listen to the radios and so forth, and all I could hear was immediately after the service, we'll all meet in the luncheon room and have coffee together. And, well, what has the church come to? It's a lodge. Why do you say lodge instead of church? Churches are not supposed to do that. Church is not a meeting of coffee and dinners and suppers and things like that. We have communion with the Lord. The church, that's where we commune with Him. Amen? Amen. I said to my wife, honey, I'm getting so critical. I hate to go down to the tabernacle or either enter the pulpit. Oh, older I get, I look like worse I get.
Amen.
I don't want to be like that, but there's something inside me drives me to be like that. And then I said, I'm losing my mind. Why can't I go with the rest of the crowd? Why can't I go like the other brethren? Why can't I get me an organization and build it around like they do? Or why can't I go out and quit hammering at people and things like that? Why can't I do it? I said, then I think, have I lost my mind? Then I come back to the Word, and there it is. Yep. I must stay with the Word.
Amen.
I don't really know, like Brother Brian has been talking lately, how important it is just to only say what he said. I said, if it wasn't for the Word of God, and I know there was a God, I'd build me a little cabin somewhere so far back in British Columbia, way back up in Canada, in the mountains, where I wouldn't see a human being but once a year. And there I'd hear the voice of God in the rippling streams, and I'd hear him when he screamed out in the wolf on top of the mountain. I'd hear him as he whispers through the great big pine trees and look at his lovely face in the mirror of the lake when it's reflected by the big snow-capped mountains. Why, I'd worship God every day of my life back in there. I know I'd get more real about God back there than I can listening to coffee suppers and tea parties and all this kind of stuff that we have today, so-called church creeds and fictions and fables and everything else to take the place of the gospel. And that's serves we would see Jesus. Brother Branham was tired, you know, and he said, you know, I don't ever want to get to be that old gripey man. But when it comes to the Word, he would not vary one little iota. And we're thankful that he didn't. And for us as Christians in this day, we don't need to vary any at all either. Now, when God made man in the beginning to fellowship with him, then this man was in perfect fellowship in the Garden of Eden. He was in perfect fellowship with God. And how it must have been on that day when God would come down in the cool of the evening and call Adam. He and Eve would come up and they would worship God. And they would fellowship and commune one with the other. That's the very thing that calls us together like this. Setting together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Fellowshipping in the Holy Spirit. No difference in us. We are all one in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. In that perfect harmony of fellowship. There's nothing like it I've ever found on earth. It is to come together in heavenly places and have communion, fellowship with God, with each other. Now that's what God intended in the Garden of Eden. That fellowship from God and man was broken by sin. Now God made a bias and a ground upon which man could remain or retain his fellowship. And it was written... And it wasn't through a get-together or organization or an education. It was on the basis of the shed blood. And that's the only place of fellowship that we have with God today. And the only meeting place is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's exactly right. See? Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'll go ahead and read the next one. And in the cool of, excuse me. And in the cool of the evening, he would come down and commune with them. And there he was, and there he lost that fellowship because sin wouldn't let him do it. And then he was made flesh and dwelt among us, in order that he could come back again to man and live in man and restore a man to a state of communion with him again and give him back his God-given right. That's what he did. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. It's the Father again, God the Father dwelling in you, working out his plans to finish his plan of redemption, working through you, making you a co-worker with him, giving you a place, giving you a part for your fallen, lost brother and sister, giving you his spirit, his love, to go hunt the lost as he did in the Garden of Eden. Adam, where art thou? That's what the Holy Spirit does to man or woman. When it strikes into the heart and it takes its abode, there's a thirst and a hungering for lost souls. That's what's the matter with the meetings today. There is not enough spirit touch in it to go for the souls of the lost and the dying. It's more to make a name or a church or a building or denomination instead of soul winning, instead of a soul winning program. How pitiful. We could stay on it. We could stay on it much. God poured himself into Christ, correct? Christ poured himself into the church. Therefore, now watch. At that day, you'll know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and that I am in you. And at that day, you'll know it, for it's the whole thing is one plan of redemption coming down, that God coming back to live in and dwell with and to commune to his people as he did in the beginning, as he did at the beginning. Now then, as soon as he gets his church in speaking condition, gets his church into a place that he can flow himself through and love and persuade and fellowship, then there will come an Eden. He'll take his church back to where it left him, back to an Eden again, there where it fell. That's where he made its first start or fall. There's where it'll be taken right back, and every clean slate of redemption beginning, bringing them straight back to that place again. So that's what we have to look forward to.
Yes, sir.
Now we fellowship with God through his word, and when we pray, we have an intercessor, Christ, between us and the Father. But at some point here, God wants us to get back to exactly how it was in the Garden of Eden, where we can talk to him face to face. Won't that be a time? It's hard to imagine being a human, I'd imagine. I don't know how Adam and Eve, because they didn't know any sin or nothing was clouding their mind as far as just talking to the Creator, amen? But we'll know one day when he gets us back there, amen? 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what argument hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, that last Greek translation was for commune. This is for the word communion. Then it says to come into communion or fellowship with, to become a sharer or to be a partner, to enter into fellowship and to join oneself to an associate, making oneself a sharer, or a partner. Amen. The whole plan of God right there, pretty much, in how we're supposed to be adopted back. Amen. Through Christ being one. Amen. Well, that's what many times that we have to do in the spiritual realm. You see, each day we've got to commune with Christ. We've got to talk to him each and every day. We've got to settle it with him each day. Paul said, I die daily. See, each day I die, yet I live, not me, but Christ lives in me. So if your physical body needs food each day and drink each day to survive, your spiritual body needs spiritual food and communion with the Lord each day to survive. Yes, amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So each day we've got to study the Bible. Some people doesn't study at all. Some picks it up every two or three times a year. But a real believer that's really spiritually built up, he reads his Bible every day and talks to the Lord. That's right. Amen. He has to. Man shall not be, live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Amen. I know how to do that. You know, and the whole dad thing, you know, and the kids being so young, I will admit I'm not a very good, you know, get down on my knees. We do, but faithfully, and pray with your family and pray with your kids. And I got my shortcomings, and God will help me get better at those. But I pray all the time. And you say, well, that doesn't count. That isn't enough, and it isn't, you know. But anytime someone or a circumstance comes across my mind, I stop and I pray about it, you know. Or I think, you know, or God will, you know, you think about a scripture, what pertains to that something that God would bring that across your memory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we want to commune with him all the time. Sorry, this... wintertime is starting to catch up with me. I think I'm needing a 16-inch neck, not a 58.5. May the Lord bless his word. I want to, just for a few minutes, speak on communion. What does the word commune mean? Commune means to talk. To have a communion really means to have fellowship, talk with each other. And that part of being still and being quiet and listening to God talk to you, as much as that is, there's another side to the coin altogether. Sure, you pray and you talk to the Lord back and forth, but then there is the, like Brother Branham said, you come to church, and the communion part is with me and you and I together, because that's what builds the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's why people say, you know, some people only come to church, you know, once a year for Christmas. That won't cut it. You have to assemble yourselves, as Paul said, do not unequally yoke yourself together. If your friends, then the people that you associate the most with are not your brothers and sisters, then how do you think your life is going to go? You can't be sailing straight. If you're all on one side and you just hang out with friends and you don't fellowship, your boat's going to be leaning to the left. What's that eventually going to do? You just go in circles. You don't go anywhere. That's why it's so important to draw ourselves together. All right, I started reading that. Communion really means to have fellowship, to talk with each other. If you talk on the phone to someone, you can carry a conversation there. You are communing one with another. And if we should come aside and stand back in the back of the building, any individual and the pastor or any two people, they are communing one with another. Now, you do not communicate by radio because you cannot talk back, or television, but you can by phone because you are communicating with someone on the other end. Amen? Just isn't one side. I can't commune with you now because you do not talk back. So therefore, it would not be coming to hear a minister deliver his message. That would not be coming together to commune. Communion would not be that. If you come just to commune with the minister, you'd call him to one side or any individual and commune with him or she. But what he come in, communion is for each of us as an individual to communicate with Christ. That is communing. Then communing is not altogether one doing the talking, us doing all the talking, but waiting and seeing what he has to say back to us. Now, there's where many times we make our great mistake is we do not talk. We do all the talking and don't wait and give him a chance to answer back. We go sometimes say, Lord, I would that you would do so-and-so and so-and-so, amen, and get up and leave. Now, that really isn't communing. That's going and asking for a favor. But when you stay long enough until he answers you back, that's when you're getting communion. Communing with the Lord. Now, And a great way to commune is to be agreed. You must agree upon certain things. Now, it's strange that sometimes when we get those things, and that's from Communion in 62. You know God meets with his sons, with the sons of men many times in different forms and in different groups, different councils, different numbers. One time he met with them, there were 500 gathered together. One time he met with them where there was 70 together. And he met with them where there was 12 gathered together. And then he met with them where there were 3 gathered together. And where 1, God meets wherever men will gather together, he has promised to meet. And so this afternoon, it's most surely that he is here to meet with us today upon this nice gathering of people here in this auditorium this afternoon. God loves to commune with his servants. He loves to make himself known to the sons of men. He loves to show his power. Any Bible reader who reads the Bible knows God loves to display his power. He brings men into situations that he cannot figure out in order to show them that he loves them and leads them. Look at Israel on their journey, which was a type of this journey today, how he would lead them right into death's trap and display his power. When Pharaoh would say, "I will let them go," and then God said, "Say, no, I'm going to harden his heart just in order to show his power." And I believe that's why God is letting things happen the way they are tonight. Today. That when the great rush finally comes, he loves to show his power and display his love to the sons of men. Reading a few days ago this scripture, which was always been an outstanding one to me, I seem to catch a new revelation. And you know, God's word is so eternal, it's so inspired, that it's not just for one occasion or for one generation. The word of God is so eternal, the same and the truth till it will. And that's from Hear Ye Him. And Israel refused to commune with God directly. It wasn't so from the beginning in the garden with Adam and Eve. God came down and fellowshiped with them face to face. And as soon as Moses went into the mountain, the people turned to idolatry. What is idolatry? Putting anything or anybody before God. They always wanted a king or a prophet instead of God's provided way. And today, they are doing the same thing, placing their eyes on the prophet instead of the God that used the prophet. Amen. Now, we know we have a mediator between us and God right now. Like, you can't, you know, God come into the room and speak to you face to face, you know, except for by his word. But we are headed back to where Adam and Eve were, where God literally came down into the midst of the garden and fellowshiped. Amen? And we're looking for that. But don't get your eyes on the man. As Brother Brian has nailed that as hard as he can, and I don't think I need to say it any harder. But don't let yourself get caught in the same... Brother Branham, if you listen to tapes, you know what I'm saying right now. He talked about the children of Israel all the time. Amen. How they would see great miracles, and God would just do almighty things right before them, and then all of a sudden they forget 2 days. Yeah. It's human nature. But God, the two men that did make it over, kept their eyes focused on the promise. So just remember, never look at the man. Remember what God is trying to say to you. All right, that's kind of the end of my communion scriptures. And during my study, I ran across a couple other good quotes. So I want to share them with you. They kind of go along with what Brother Brian's been talking about in the mini-series Within Faith, about the fivefold ministry, all right? All right. He's no pollen of Mary. That knocks your Catholic idea a million miles. Now he's talking about the virgin birth. had nothing to do with Mary. Mary was just an incubator, that's all. He never even called her mother. Show me one time he called her mother. He said, woman, amen. That's all. She was a woman that God used. That's right. No God, goddess, mother of God. What a silly thing, mother of God. Who can give, make having a mother of God? Then who was the mother of God? Oh my, talk about eternal sonship. Son had a beginning. Eternal can't start, can't begin. It always has been. How can it be an eternal son? Oh my. I'm a dummy, and I know better than that. Sure, he was the expressed image of God, because he was God. He was God's thoughts, thought expressed by his word. God said, let there be, and it was. He overshadowed Mary. She nursed him, true, certainly. You're doing the same thing tonight as you feed him your praise and glory. That's right, commune with God. Now watch. He was the Word, see, Jesus. He just said this because he was the Word. But to us, we have to approach God through the Word, see, through Christ. The Word comes to the prophets. They're not the Word. In the Old Testament, now Elijah and Moses and all those great prophets, they wasn't the Word. They were a perverted body that the Word of God came to. The Bible said the Word of God come to the prophets. They wasn't the Word, but Jesus was the Word. Amen. Oh, how I love him. That's all right. Now, why did he never fail to stay right with the Word? Satan tried to pervert it like he did in Eve. He said, it is written, thou shalt, and he gave the angels charge concerning thee, lest any time thou dash thy foot against the stone, he said, is also written. See, he just poked right back at him. Then he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that, not a little bit here and a little bit yonder, mix it together, or with some theology of the world-made, man-minded people, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall live by that. Every word of God, man shall live by. That's what he shall live by, Jesus said, and he was the Word. So now, if a true prophet stays with the Word, and you see the manifestation of the Word, like Malachi did, like Moses, like all of them did, then a false prophet would be one that would cause you to try to make you dismay about the signs of God. The signs of God's word. He'd be a false prophet. Jesus said, beware of them, and they will fool or deceive the very elect if it was possible. See, they'll come right up there and claim to be everything else, but they just don't. When they go to moving away from that word, you move away too. Move away from them. Stay with the word.
Amen.
Amen. God revealed in his son, and the word came to the prophets. The word, the prophets were not the word. All right, this is from the Church Age book. It's a little bit long. And I'm not a good reader, so you guys read along, and if I miss something, you read it in there, alright? This second step was the doctrine of Balaam, described in Revelation 2:14, where Balaam taught Balak to stumble the children of Israel by a united meeting. There, the guests would do two or more things contrary to the word of God. You will recall that Balak needed help to keep his kingdom. He called on the most dominant spiritual figure of his day, Balaam. Balaam gave the advice that trapped and destroyed Israel. It was first of all to suggest that they all get together and talk things over, and eat together, and get things ironed out. After all, understanding each other goes a long way. Once you accomplish that, you can go from there. The next step would be worshiping together. And of course, a little pressure from the host usually makes the guests go a lot further than they intended. Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
Now, that didn't only happen back there to God's church of the Old Testament, but it happened to the church of the New Testament. For there was an emperor who, like Balak, needed help to secure his kingdom. So Constantine invited the nominal Christian First Christian Church of Rome to help him get the Christians behind him. And they were a very large body. The outcome was the Nicaea Council of 325. There the Christians, both true and nominal, came together at the invitation of Constantine. The true Christians had no business even going up to the meeting. In spite of all Constantine could do to unite them all, the real believers knew they were out of place and left. But to those who remained, Constantine gave of the state's treasury, along with the political and physical force, the people were introduced to idol worship and spiritism, for statues and names of saints and were placed in buildings, and people were taught to commune with the dead and pray to saints, which is nothing more or nor less than spiritism. For the food that man truly needs, even the Word of God, they were given creeds and dogmas and rituals, which were also enforced by the state, and above all they needed given three gods with the triple compound name of the one true God, and water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ gave way to pagan baptisms of three titles. The real believer ought to have not gone there. They had already lost much truth, and now they too would lose the understanding of Godhead and forfeit names for titles in water baptism. Now watch the doctrine of Balaam most carefully. Notice above all, now listen very carefully, that it is the deliberate maneuver of corrupt clergy to bind the people to them by leading them, the people, deliberately into the sin of unbelief. The Nicolaitan doctrine was the corruption of the clergy as they sought political power amongst themselves, while Balaamism is the subjection of the people to their system of creed and worship in order to hold them. Now watch this carefully. What was it that bound the people to the nominal church and thereby destroying them? It was the creeds and the dogmas formed in the church tenets. It was the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. There were not given the true food, the Word. They were given the food that came from idol worship. Babylonian paganism wrapped up in Christian terminology. And that very same spirit and doctrine is right amongst all the Pentecostals, and it's called denomination. Nicolaitanism is organization humanizing the leadership of the church and thereby deposing the spirit. Balaamism is denominationalism, those are some long words, which takes the church manual instead of the Bible. And right to this hour, many of God's people are caught in the snare of denominationalism, and God is crying to them, "Come out of her, my people, that you may not be partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plagues." You see, they are ignorant. But if the rapture should take place at this moment, ignorance would not ignorance would be no court of appeal for the judgment of God for the beginning in the wrong, being in the wrong ranks. For the clergy to organize themselves with one rank over another until they are finally headed up by a president is a manifestation of the Antichrist spirit, regardless of how wonderful and necessary it might seem. Pretty plain. It is nothing but human reasoning taking the place of God, of the Word. And any person who is in the organized denominations is right in the midst of an Antichrist system. Now let me say this and make it very plain. I am not against the people. I am against the system. So there you go. God never did intend in our age right now to be under any man.
Man, that's right. Man.
Our leadership comes from the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
And if it doesn't, then we're in the wrong camp.
Right.
Deception of false fivefold and the marks of the Antichrist. Now, anything in black is kind of like Brother Brian does. That's what I say, so I ain't said a whole lot. And as the days grow closer and closer and the narrowing of the path, we want to get closer together. We must just be just one body. We must move together, forgetting one another's sins and our differences, and just sticking closer and closer as we see the day approaching, assembling ourselves together with one accord and one heart. And if a brother, sister gets out of the way in any way, don't do nothing but pray for that person and in love, always considering one another. Don't never let one of you get away. Stay together. And if you can, add more to it constantly, all the time. And that's from Thinking Man's Filter. In Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking that you assemble yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen?
Amen.
And in that last quote there, amen. It says, but don't do nothing but pray for that person and in love. And that, you know, just goes to show a Christian character. If you know something more than the next person, it doesn't make you greater. You know, we are all the same in the eyes of God. And just because one group has this and something else has this, it don't matter. You know, it really doesn't. The only thing that matters, as Brother Branham said more than once in all these quotes, is we have to stay with the Word.
Yes.
No matter if it makes you unpopular, and you and your wife and your kids are the only thing left in your house, that's all that matters anyways.
That's right.
I was talking to my cousin here the other day, and they hook up to the Voice of God and listen to the tapes, because there isn't a whole lot of choices for churches in Fairbanks. And he was pretty excited about some of the Feast of the Trumpets and everything that was going on, and if it might be this or might be that. And I enjoy talking to him. We kind of are maybe best friends and cousins too. And I told him, you know, in this hour, I do want to share what I know with somebody. I do want to further the kingdom of God. I said that most importantly, I said, I want to make sure that my boat floats. And I want that boat that I'm in is the Word of God. And that's the only thing that no matter who or what or where, that's where I'm going to be. Because I want to be found on May the 17th in that boat before the door closes. Amen. It's the most important thing you can look for right now. So whatever you have in your life that you think is a struggle, even for me, this last summer, working just ridiculous, none of that matters. I'm planting a few potatoes, sure, but gathering together, communing with God and His Word, and with each of you is what's the most important thing, is to have that relationship. And we are the body of Christ. So that's it right there in a nutshell. Amen. So God bless you. And I'll turn the service back over to Brother Brian for communion.
Yeah, the deacons bring forth the elements. Brother Justin, Brother Peter, if you would bring forth the elements at this time. We open our Bibles to John chapter 13.